what's happening here in this portion of scripture and what happened before. So if we go back in time a little, we'll have a better understanding of what's taking place. If we go back to Exodus chapter 19, we find there in verses 1 and 2 that the children of Israel have traversed and found themselves in the wilderness of Sinai. Here in the wilderness, Moses went up to the mountain, went up to God at the mountain of Sinai, and God tells Moses to go and tell the people, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak to the children of Israel." So the people responded to the words God had spoken to them as follows. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Then Moses consecrated the people, and God came upon the mountain. In verse 18, it says, "Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain greatly quaked. So God came down upon the mountain in the sight of all the people, and he spoke in the sight of all the people to Moses," not to the people, he spoke to Moses, "and said," and God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." This message is entitled, "No Other Gods." "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." I want you to let what I just shared rest in your spirit for just a moment, and then stick with me because we're going somewhere. Amen? Let me get through this, and then it's all going to make sense. After this, the Lord goes on and gives the people a great many commandments in chapters 20 through 24. And the people once again earnestly say the impacting words that we find in chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. This is what the scripture says. "Now he said to Moses, 'Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him.'" Verse 3 says, "So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice, and they said, 'All the words which the Lord has said, we will do.'" Remember the words that the people have said now on more than one occasion. God makes it extremely clear that the people are to serve no other gods. They are not to make any idols of silver or gold or any carved image or any in any which way whatsoever. And then in chapters 25 through 31, God gives Moses instruction for building the tabernacle and also instructions for the conduct of the priests and other instructions for the children of Israel. This process of receiving all these instructions from God took how long? 40 days and 40 nights. And that brings us back to chapter 32, verse 1. So let's read the text again, remembering this time what the people said now on several occasions. "And all the people answered with one voice and said, 'All the words which the Lord has said, we will do.'" Exodus 32, 1 through 8. "When the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make gods for us who will go before us, because this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him.' Aaron replied to them, 'Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people took off the gold rings that were on their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made it into an image of a calf. Then they said, 'Israel, these are your gods who brought you up from the land of Egypt.' When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of it and made an announcement. There will be a festival to the Lord tomorrow. Early the next morning, they arose, offered burnt offerings, and presented fellowship offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to party. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down at once, for your people you brought up from the land of Egypt have acted corruptly. They have quickly turned away from the way I commanded them. They have made for themselves an image of a calf. They have bowed down to it, sacrificed to it, and said, 'Israel, these are your gods who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" So what happened? What happened to the children of Israel here? Didn't the people say, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do." Didn't God tell them that they will have no other gods? The people saw that Moses delayed in coming down the mountain. So what happened is what happens to us many times. The people grew impatient that they were waiting on instruction from God. Has anybody grown impatient as you were waiting on instruction from God? Have you ever grown impatient as you were in God's waiting room, waiting anxiously to hear from him so that you will know what you are to do next? Sometimes it seems like it is taking forever for God to give us the direction we feel we so desperately need. How many have been there? So then the people became frustrated and irritated and confused, and so they did exactly what they said they would not do. They manufactured another God to serve because they became unwilling to wait on God to speak. It can be easy to forget at times that what we promised and committed to God, that his plan and his purpose are priority in our lives. In the desperately frustrating times where we find ourselves waiting on instruction from God, it's absolutely vital that we don't find ourselves manufacturing other gods to serve like the children of Israel had done. They told God they would serve no other gods. How many of us in this place tonight have told God, "I will serve no other gods"? How many times have we told God we would put no other gods before him? And how many times have we manufactured other gods to serve when our God, the God, doesn't answer fast enough for us? So as I move on, I just want to share with you a little bit tonight three other gods that I found myself serving when God does not answer as quickly as I think he should. And I'm sure a few of you can relate here tonight. Amen. Number one is the God of self. Woo! Number two is the God of success. Number three is the God of sin. And these are just a few of the gods that I found myself serving when God doesn't move as quickly as I think he should. So what does it mean to serve the God of self? It means to be self-serving. And a self-serving person is a person or an action done for one's own benefit, sometimes at the expense of others. An example of self-serving is a lie told to make oneself look better. Have you ever told a lie to make yourself look better? We no longer look out for the interests of others when we are serving the God of self. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2:4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This goes right out the window when we're serving the God of self. Other people's well-being no longer seems to matter to you and I. And this is important for people that are in leadership. If you're in a position of leadership, how many know leadership is nothing but serving? That's all that it is just serving. And in the more you are elevated in leadership, it just simply means the more that we serve, the more that you have to serve. So as a leader, when you find yourself serving the God of self, it's dangerous for the people, the men or the women that are under you, because you begin to mistreat them. other people's well-being no longer seems to matter. Number two, I'm going to move quickly tonight. Number two, what does it mean to serve the God of success? When we chase the God of success, we put things like money and prestige before God. There's absolutely nothing wrong with success when it is God-centered success. God desires that we are blessed in all areas, and he wants to bless us, and he will bless us when we learn to put him first, regardless of the season that you and I may be in at any specific time. In the systems of the world, we hear and we say things like this. We all want success. We want success with God. We want success with our family. We want success at our jobs. We want success in our relationships. Can I hear somebody say amen? We want to be successful and feel successful, right? But in the world, we chase money, fame, power, education, relationships, and a thousand other things that without ever stopping to ask one essential question. What actually is success? Well, this is the biblical definition of success. The world defines success mainly by measuring the amount of wealth, power, and popularity a person obtains. Worldly definitions of success are deceptive and they're tragic because they focus on what is fleeting and passing and ignore what is lasting and eternal. Worldly definitions of success are notoriously short-sighted and they followed end in misery. How many have chased success and ended up in a pit of misery? Hello, somebody. On the contrary, the Bible defines success in terms of what is spiritual and lasting and ends in eternal life and joy, whereas worldly success is centered on the promotion and gratification of who? Us. Biblical success is centered on obedience to and glorification of God. Success is obedience to God empowered by the Spirit of God, motivated by what? Love for God and directed towards the advancement of the kingdom of God. Success begins with obeying God's command to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. When a person receives Jesus Christ, they also receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit empowers and enables believers to obey the teachings and commands of Christ. And this obedience is motivated by our newly implanted love for God. Whereas before we knew Christ, we were alienated from God and without hope in the world, chasing things that we were never going to truly obtain. After we receive Christ, we are reconciled to God and desire to love him with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. Our old stony, hard hearts are removed and replaced with hearts that are tender toward God. We are made new creations in Christ. How many new creations in Christ do we have in the house tonight? True success is about believing, loving, and obeying God. It is focusing on that which is eternal rather than on that which is temporary. It is being transformed by the work of God in our lives, minds, and hearts. When we chase things that the world and the systems of the world see as things that make you successful, it's temporal. It only lasts for a moment. It's momentary. It feels good in the moment. It feels good. It could last for a week. It could last for a month. It could last for 6 months. It could last even maybe for a year. But I'm going to tell you this right now is that it's still fleeting, and it's not what matters to God and the plan and the purpose that he has for our lives. Anything that we chase in this world, if it's not God-centered and evolves around God, it's not going to last. Can I hear somebody say amen? So I don't know about you, but I know that I've been in the position of a person that chases the God of success. Wanting to be somebody. Wanting to be Mr. Popular, wanting to have money, wanting to have nice cars, wanting to have the big house, wanting to have nice things so people could notice that I was a person that stood out among the rest of the world. Has anybody else ever found themselves chasing the God of success? You know, every time I chased the God of success, I always found myself ended up in a pit of misery. It never mattered how much money I had. It never mattered how nice my car was. It never mattered how nice the house was. None of that mattered. It only lasted for a moment. But it's when we come to the things of God, our life is filled with a purpose. Can I hear somebody say amen here tonight? All of that feels good, but without God in the middle of it, it's purposeless. So it's okay to have those things as long as God is in the middle of those things. And what that means is that as long as God gives it to you, it's okay to have them. Could I hear somebody say amen? So the last God that I find myself serving, or have found myself serving at times when God hasn't moved fast enough for me, is the God of sin. And this is the most dangerous God to serve, because it means giving in to the desires of our sinful nature. The battle is magnified during seasons of frustration and confusion. So we go back to feeling like we so desperately need direction. And if you've ever been in that place where you feel like you so desperately need some direction from God, right? How many know there's an order with God and God's going to speak to you the majority of the time through your leaders, right? God has instituted a structure and an order for us to abide by and live by. And man, have you ever been in that place where, man, you're not getting any direction? Woo! Man, you start going through it and you're just, I mean, you're asking, I mean, you're chasing them around like, man, what's going to happen next? What's going on? Somebody tell me, please, because I'm going, right? You start going crazy, you get frustrated. Right? And you get confused. Sometimes it's because God doesn't want to tell you yet. Maybe even most of the time. And then sometimes it's because maybe your leadership, maybe they're a little bit late telling you. But whatever the case may be, it's not our place to trip. Can I hear somebody say amen? Right? Simply because of the frustration and the confusion come, and as soon as you get that direction from your leadership, from God and your leadership, all of a sudden there's just this immense, overwhelming peace that comes over your life, right? Until 6 more months goes by and you're frustrated and confused again because you need more direction in your life. Can I hear somebody say, can anybody identify with that tonight? You know, because I've been through that where it's like, man, like, I need some direction. If somebody doesn't give me some direction, somebody doesn't give me a plan, I'm going to make up my own plan. It might not be a good plan. Come on, somebody, right? But that's what's going to happen because they're not giving me direction. And I've done that. All bad. Right? A lot of times it's the next day where God was going to give you that direction. Right? God uses seasons like that so that we can learn to exercise a little bit of self-control. We can learn to exercise some patience, to learn to exercise our faith muscles a little bit. Hello, somebody. Right? Because we live in a microwave generation where we want everything right away. I mean, the average adult attention span used to be 22 minutes a few years back. I think it's 2 minutes now. Because of all the social media and different things, everything that you see on social media and YouTube, I mean, they're very, very, they're designed like in little 3 to 5 minute clips because that's all that we can take anymore. So it can be tempting for us to give in to our sinful nature while waiting on God's next step. Many times because it simply eases the pain of waiting for God to speak. This is only a temporary fix to the lifelong challenge of waiting on God. Many times the answer is right around the corner and we quit right before we make the turn. Can I hear somebody say amen? The Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, a lamp only lights up the path a few feet ahead of us. So we must continue trusting in God and in his word to continue to light up the rest of the path as we enjoy the ride that he has us on. Can I hear somebody say amen? the God of self, the God of success, and the God of sin. But there are different gods that each and every one of us will serve, find ourselves serving in those moments and in those times where we've, you know, grown impatient, frustrated, and confused, and could no longer wait for God to speak. There's just a few of them. You know, if I can be transparent, one of the gods that I trip up over sometime, I know there's only one God. I'm using the term God as, you know, kind of like idolatry, you know, worshiping idols, is my children. My children. And some of you know what I'm talking about because some of you worship your kids too. Sometimes instead of raising our kids, we worship them. Right? And so, and especially even recently, you know, being so far away from my babies, I got to spend a couple weeks with them, and I was tested. I was tested, you know, in exactly the area that I'm talking about here tonight, is waiting on God. You know, because I've always been a person, and I'm sure everybody in here tonight is, that can make things happen. All right, we know how to make things happen. We can make it happen. Hello, somebody. Right? And there, you know, and sometimes there's even open doors to make things happen, but God leaves those doors open for a reason, because he knows what you're going to do. And he doesn't necessarily need to test your heart, but he needs to show you where you're at. All right? And so sometimes when those frustrating seasons come in, like me with my, you know, because, man, my kids to me, they're like, man, they're perfect. I mean, you know, I look at my son and he's like, like God made him perfect. God made him perfect. God made my daughter perfect. There are not more beautiful children in the entire world. I'm sure you guys all feel the same about your own kids. But that's a God I can find myself serving. I could find myself worshiping my children instead of following the plan of God for my life. And then some of us, we can find ourselves worshiping that God of success, right? Worshiping your job, always volunteering for overtime. Hello, somebody. You don't need to volunteer for the overtime. You miss church on Friday night because you worship the God of success. And I'm not saying, you know, there are times where things happen, but what I'm saying is this, and you want to be that busy bee. Don't get me wrong, be the best employee at your place of employment. But trust God for your, you got to be at church on Friday night. That's where you got to be. Can I hear somebody say amen? Don't worship the God of success. You will earn more credibility by standing your ground for God than you ever will being that busy bee at your place of employment. People respect you so much more for being that guy that stands on principle, for being that woman that stands on principle and not worshiping the God of success. Can I hear somebody say amen? So tonight, let's not fall victim to serving other gods, because we're in God's waiting room. Amen. I've been listening a lot. I'm done. The worship team can come. I've been listening to a lot about people that talk about social media and how much of this generation worships the God of social media. Some of us, when we should be developing and growing and changing and allowing God to mature us, are scrolling and watching and looking on social media. Can I hear somebody say amen? So there are many different gods that we can find ourselves serving, but there's only one God that holds our destiny in the palm of his hand. So we can do anything and everything that we can possibly try to do and worship these other gods. But if we're not serving the God that said, serve no other gods. We're always going to find ourselves drowning in a pool of misery, and sometimes drowning in a pool of sin, and sometimes drowning in a pool of whatever that pool might be, finding ourselves crawling back to who? The God that said, serve no other gods. Maybe, I don't know, some of you tonight, you know what God I'm talking about as I'm sharing this with you. Some of you have a God that you're worshiping. I feel like I do sometimes. So if you find yourself right now in a condition where you're worshiping other gods and you want to get yourself back on track, whatever that God may be, sometimes we can simply worship the God that we want to serve instead of worshiping the God that is. Maybe you just want to make sure you never worship any other gods again. You can stand here tonight. I think that's a big one for all of us, is manufacturing the God that we want to serve instead of worshiping the God that is. When Moses was up on the mountaintop talking to God, the children of Israel told God, we will serve no other gods. Everything that the Lord has told us to do, that is what we will do. And then as soon as they didn't hear from Moses, we don't know what happened to Moses. This guy tripped out. He left. We can't find him. We don't know what to do. Somebody make us some God to serve. That's what we do. When we're not hearing from the Lord fast enough, we don't know what to do, and we manufacture the God that we want to serve instead of serving the God that is. So tonight, if you're worshiping and serving other gods, or if you want to stop manufacturing the God that you want to serve instead of serving the God that is, the altar's open. You can make your way.